Our presentation today is Lessons Yet to Learn by Reverend Matt Aspen. I'll let you introduce as you go.
As you're beginning to get to know me, I think it's important that I share with you a bit about my current beliefs. I'm going to share a few stories today about my bicycle and use those stories as a series of metaphors to help explain my current thoughts about the Unitarian Universalist faith. It's my bicycle. As hard as this is for me to believe, I've had this bike for almost 30 years. To this point in my life, I've had the good fortune to be able-bodied, a condition that I know is temporary, and I try to remember to give thanks for every day. I always loved to bike as a child, and once I was starting to make enough money to live on, I saved up my pennies and spent a good bit of time looking for just the right mountain bike for me. I finally found the frame that fit, like it fit me just right, and I purchased it in my early 20s. Mountain biking aligned very well with my needs and my life at that time, and over time, being a mountain biker became a part of my identity. The more time I spent in relationship with my bike, the more it began to just feel like an extension of who I was. Unitarian Universalism is sometimes referred to as a chosen faith. Many individuals find this faith later in life after an intentional search for a place where they can find comfort and meaning. Many who find this faith say, "I can't believe I've finally found my people. Being a part of this community just seems to fit." So for me, my bike, like this faith, are things that I chose for me that just seem to fit. So back to my bike. Like anything, one gets better with practice. I practiced on my bike a lot over the first few years we were together. I could ride over big logs, up and down almost any hill. I could fly down narrow, zigzagging mountain trails at exhilarating speed. I didn't have the words for it back then, but in hindsight, riding my bike in the woods became my spiritual practice. It was the consistency of riding over time which helped me develop the skills I would need to face greater challenges over time. Just as a faith community like this one requires commitment over time to help strengthen the hearts and minds of the folks that call this place their spiritual home. This bike has taken me all over the country. I have pictures of adventures with this bike on both coasts and now here in the Midwest. We have history together. Just like the memories that so many of you gathered here over the years in relationship with others over time in this community, it is the good times and the bad times that we've shared together that have created meaning for me in relationship with this bicycle. Now, I must admit, I stepped away from this relationship with my bike when I moved to Seattle. It's really hilly there. Really hilly. My life got busy, and I just didn't ride nearly as much as I used to. I missed my time on my bike, but other things seemed more important. Truth be told, I didn't devote nearly as much time to my bike for the decade and a half as I lived when I lived on the West Coast. This happens sometimes with faith, too. People get busy. They end up devoting more and more of their time to other endeavors. But then when I moved here, I found a spot near my new home with wonderful, nicely rolling trails across reclaimed prairie lands. It's true, they're prairie lands. I'm happy to say that I've re-engaged with my relationship with my bike, and it's been wonderful. Communing with nature with my bike has once again become a grounding spiritual practice, and for this I am truly grateful. My life feels better having recommitted to my relationship with my bike. My daughter. Now here's where I get to the two points I really want to make today. If you were here last week, you heard me talk about the reality of some challenges that we're facing in the world today, and why I think it's communities like this one that have the potential to strengthen us to weather those challenges. The other day, I was going down a hill that I hadn't been on before. And I realized pretty quickly that the trail I was on felt a little beyond what I was now capable of handling. It was too steep to just stop, and I was just feathering the brakes to try to gingerly navigate down this slippery, washed out, rutted section of trail. And I was coming down a ridgeline, so either side was kind of like a big fall. I was pretty fearful, because falling like that at my age is probably not a smart thing to do. Just then, out of nowhere, I heard a voice in my head that said loudly and clearly, "Speed is your friend." I immediately realized that this was a lesson that I had learned and had become deeply embedded long ago, back in the days when I was intentionally practicing to expand my abilities to experience greater and greater challenges. So I took a deep breath, I let go of the brakes, I set my gaze further ahead down the trail as I had learned to do all those years ago. I placed my faith in the muscle memory that I had developed over the years of practice in my younger days, and my bike naturally just found the smoothest and safest lines, and I successfully navigated to the bottom of what for me was a challenge like I hadn't faced in many, many years. When I found myself in a situation that was beyond what I felt I was capable of in the moment of handling on my own, it was all of that time that I had spent developing a trusting relationship with this bike that ended up offering the guidance I needed when I felt overwhelmed. I found myself fearful. I was tense and tentative, trying to rationalize my way through life down that hill. What I needed was inner guidance and faith. And both of those things showed up when I needed them because of all the work I had done and all the work I had put into this relationship with this bike earlier in life. It was a wisdom that I would have thought was completely forgotten if it hadn't emerged so loudly from my subconscious at the exact moment I needed it. It is the work that is done in this community, together, that has the potential to offer us solace and guidance during times of crisis if we are consistent with them during our calmer days. I can say this from personal experience. Maybe someday I'll tell you the story of when my UU faith came with a whisper that saved me on a really hard day I was having. I'll talk about that some other day. There is so much about this community that reminds me of my bike. Your frame just feels right, not just for me, but I think for many that come through your doors. I think many in this room feel as strongly about this community as I do about my bike. And I think some of you are worried that I'm going to come in here and somehow try to change your frame. Just as I can't imagine anyone offering me a different bike, even if it was a newer, shinier, whatever, no thank you. This is my bike. I just like your community, I like it just the way it is. Now, my old bike surely does require some ongoing maintenance. I have to keep the tires inflated. And if I don't keep the chain lubed, it sometimes doesn't like to change gears when it needs to. Little maintenance is always a good idea in any system. And there are parts of any church system that require ongoing maintenance. And I think that's one of the shared responsibilities that we all need to contribute to if this community is going to keep running smoothly and be there for us when we need it. From what I've seen, you've got some amazingly dedicated church mechanics here. And it's definitely one of your strengths. I told the search committee that I would spend the first year just observing, just noticing how things feel on the ride that we're taking together. I told them what I'm really hoping to do, if anything, is act as a mirror. I plan to look at what this community says about itself and then pose questions for you to consider if what I reflect back to you doesn't seem to line up with what you say about yourselves. One final little bit about my 30-year-old bike. It's not exactly the same bike I originally bought. Several years after I bought it, I dropped off a 5-foot cliff intentionally, and I landed, but the weld at the bottom of the bottom bracket snapped when I landed. I was so mad. I couldn't believe my bike had let me down. I knew that the warranty had long since expired, and I didn't have the money to replace it. After a long walk back to my car, I was almost ready to be done with this bike. Nevertheless, I bought my cracked bicycle back to the bike store, and the shop owner said he'd see what he could do. To my surprise delight, the manufacturer determined that the weld that let go wasn't up to their stated specifications, and they gave me a brand new frame, no questions asked. The manufacturer had made a commitment to stand behind its product, and it was willing to consider that they may have actually contributed to the problem in some way. They were willing to be curious about their role in the breakdown. And because of that simple action, I ended up being able to continue deepening my relationship with this bicycle. Turned out the new frame was even stronger than the original. So how might my story of flying down that hill ended differently if that company hadn't stood by its commitment to me? I can very easily imagine that being at the end of my biking, that being the end of my biking career for the next two decades. I can then imagine myself moving here, remembering that I like to bike, buying a new bike, finding myself back in the situation on that trail that I described, and not having that depth of experience or trust in myself that I needed to navigate that section of trail, because I would have missed out on those years of practice. I had been able to continue on because my bike had been broken but repaired because of a kept promise. So how does that relate to this community? We like to describe Unitarian Universalism as a faith of covenant, not creed. We don't tell you what to believe. Instead, we make promises to each other about how we intend to work together to make the world a better place for both ourselves and for others. A covenantal faith such as ours requires a lot of work. The idea of having folks from all different backgrounds and ideas coming together to draw strength from and contribute to the ideals of shared community sounds great on paper. But when you have folks from all different backgrounds and ideas coming together, disagreements are inevitably going to arise. So here's my first offering as that mirror. One thing I've already seen, I saw it in your history that I read, I've seen it in several stories I've already heard, are many different examples in this community when disagreements arise, a strategy is employed, which I like to call, I'm taking my toys and going home. You know what I'm talking about. Instead of creating a safe space for disagreement and staying in conversation until some semblance of agreement can be reached, I've instead noticed a tendency in some instances for folks to just pull back. Welds break sometimes, but there does not seem to be a consistent guarantee that folks will stand behind the agreements that I think this place strives to uphold. Sometimes people just leave altogether. Sometimes folks just agree to disagree, but also completely eliminate all contact with the person or group that was the catalyst for the rift. Both of these strategies can reduce discomfort in the short term, but neither of them allows the ties of community to be strengthened over time. They leave either the individual or part of the community weakened, like an imperfection in the weld. These weak points don't show up on sunny days when you're all riding together down a smooth hill. They show up when you encounter a big bump on the trail, or when you find yourself lacking the skill you need to navigate a complex stretch because you've been cut off from the ability to keep practicing being in relationship over time. Perhaps you've seen this dynamic a time or two in this community. I wonder how this aligns with the intention you have in your bond of union. From the first sentence, we, the members of Prairie, wish to associate ourselves together in a religious community which affirms that we share a common humanity, that we need one another, and that our futures are inescapably bound together. And then later, we would stand tall in our quest for integrity of life, yet not at others' expense. As the prairie stretches out until it becomes one with the sky, let us reach out to touch and be one with the natural world and with each other. Let us be one with one another. I want to be a part of a community that is committed to doing the hard work that it takes to stay in relationships when the going gets tough. I believe that more and more people in this world need to have access to the type of community that models what it takes to work through disagreements in safe ways that ensure all parties are treated with dignity and respect, and the conversation continues forward until resolution is found. Not until one person walks away, but until all sides of a discussion feel like their points have been respectfully heard, and a way forward emerges that everyone can at least agree to get behind, even if it isn't exactly everything everyone wanted in the conversation when they walked in. I know that this society has deep roots in the humanist movement, so I've been voraciously reading or rereading all that I can to make sure my messages remained aligned with what I sense so far is a strong but not complete set of viewpoints in this room. So as Andy Reese and Peter Candace wrote in their recent book, Religious Humanism, The Good Life Lived in Community, humanity can only be realized in the context of the community of other human beings. Early humanist ideas placed human flourishing as the highest ideal. What remains central and aligns with the reality of human striving, Reese and Candace also note that humanism is beginning to recognize that an overemphasis on the individual versus the community ends up severely limiting the individual's potential. I began my talk today saying that my intention was to share a story about my bike as a metaphor about my set of beliefs. I can't imagine navigating the ups and downs of my new prairie trails without my old bike. And my vision of a Unitarian Universalist faith community is one in which each of its members can't imagine navigating the ups and downs of life without the frame and practice provided and allowed by this community. I'm not planning to change anything here. All I've done today is point out something that I'm wondering about. And I'll just keep doing that and continuing to invite you to think about what I've shared. And over time, if you begin to develop trust in me and I begin to develop trust with you, if we find something I've reflected that you decide you want to do some work on, your community bike, I look forward to rolling up our sleeves and getting our hands greasy, doing the holy work of strengthening this beloved community. May we each continue to enjoy many more beautiful rides together. One of the, if I can respond to that, one of the charges of the Committee on Ministry, which we're trying to put together that group to evaluate my ministry, the evaluation is how well I am supporting the mission of this community. And one of the things I quickly realized, I'm like, I'm not quite sure exactly if, you know, what the shared mission is. I mean, there's words, there's missions, there's vision statements, there's bond of union. But I'm really trying to make sure that I understand what is the collective vision of this place that ties you all together. What do you all agree upon is the reason that, so we talked about, somebody said, we want to grow this place. Well, to be able to know who to attract and who's going to want to be to contribute to this place, we have to be clear about what this place is about, right? So I think part of the important work is to just pause a minute and go to the people that for whom this place is important and try to see if we can find what those real commonalities are so that we can articulate it to folks when they come in. And I think there's a lot of work that's been done, but it's one of those tune-up things that I talked about. You always say, like, new people come, the world changes. You've got words that have held you together for 40 years. Those probably are it. But we just need to always be kind of coming back and just making sure that we all understand what those words mean and agree upon what those words mean so that we can, when people come, we can say, this is what this place is generally about. I think there are enough commonalities to try to find some common ways of talking.